for the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a very stirring song, The President Sang Amazing Grace, which is on a new album from the Kronos Quartet, Long Time Passing. The album is on Smithsonian Folkways, which I think is a remarkable label. They've contributed greatly to Unreal Bluegrass in the past. So it's Pete Seeger and Friends. And my guest today, I'm so happy to have David Harrington of the Kronos Quartet. David, welcome to Unreal Bluegrass. I want to talk about the Kronos Quartet a little bit to give some framework, but I also want you to speak about the album. In particular, you can introduce The President Sang Amazing Grace and why that's part of this collection.
Well, we wanted to give our audience and any audience that might come in contact with this music a sense of the world, the spirit, the voice, the compositions, the interests of one of America's great, I think, great persons.
Yeah, you can't. Well, I know what you're doing. You can't really limit him to music or folk music because he was beyond that.
He was beyond that. And Pete Seeger, for me, was someone I listened to as a kid, and then when we had our kids, we played his music for them. A favorite was the Sesame Street album with Brother Kirk. And then when we had our grandkids, we played his music for them in the car. And then I find out that my daughter, who's a third grade elementary school teacher here in San Francisco, she plays his music for her class. And if it's good enough for all of those people, it's definitely good enough for our audience, is what I thought.
I agree.
And The President Sang Amazing Grace is a song that I heard Joan Baez sing. And it was an evening honoring the survivors, the original civil rights leaders from the 50s and 60s. And as Clarence Jones, who was Martin Luther King's lawyer and eventually his speechwriter, as he said, is probably going to be the last of those meetings and evenings. And Joan Baez sang, The President Sang Amazing Grace, and we were right in the middle of putting our album together, and I thought, this song has got to be on this album. There's no question about it. If Seeger were around, wasn't singing anymore, he would somehow find a way to get that song in other people's hands. If he was singing, he'd figure out a way to get the audience to sing it with him. And it would actually not exist without his work. That song, it was written by Zoe Mulford, and just recently she told me she grew up listening to Pete Seeger and being influenced by him. And parenthetically, she said she grew up listening to Kronos, too. So I was really proud of that, actually.
What a coincidence.
It's the kind of song, I was thinking about this before you called, it's the kind of song that I wish did not have to exist. That tragedy in the church in Charleston is just unspeakable, really. And but Zoe Mulford found a way to commemorate that moment when President Obama sang Amazing Grace at that service. And it's got to be one of the most moving moments in his presidency and in public life that I remember. And I think Zoe Mulford made a great song. And MacLeat is the singer that Kronos had hoped to work with for a long, long time. And I was just hoping to find the right song, the right moment. And when we found that song after Joan Baez sang it, I thought, MacLeet, Kronos, we're going to do it together somehow. And so that's how it happened.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned her name, because I was not familiar with her as an artist, and I knew that you could shed a little light on that so that the audience could get the full range of that song.
Yeah, MacLeet is a wonderful musician who lives here in San Francisco. Her parents are from Ethiopia, and she has a lot of musical interests and also a very expansive ability and talent. So for me, it was really it wasn't really a decision. It was kind of like, just let it happen.
Let me do this for Kronos Quartet, and this is my stab at a description. I have been a fan since the Black Angels album. I know that wasn't the first album, but I think it was at least 89 or 90, I don't know. And I have several others also.
That's about
right. Yeah, I have several others also. And Kronos Quartet does music written for them, their own compositions, but every once in a while they will embrace. I know there's a jazz album with Bill Evans. I know that you work with different artists, and I know that in this audience would certainly recognize Alison Brown, has been a guest several times. You recorded with her. But let's give the audience now, before we get too much further into this great album, I want you to tell a little bit of a description of Kronos Quartet and the music. I don't like to use labels to describe what you do. I will say this, that when Kronos Quartet creates an album such as this, Long Time Passing, the Pete Seeger and Friends, it's really... they aren't cover. Please don't anyone think these are cover songs. These are interpreted through Kronos Quartet, and it really, Kronos Quartet becomes a curator. A curator of the music and the feelings of the artists that they are then recreating on these albums. And I think you've done that with Pete Seeger. But that being said, tell us a little bit about Kronos Quartet so the audience can get up to speed.
Well, it was in 1973 in the summer. August, actually, when I heard Black Angels by George Crumb. And all of a sudden, coming out of the radio that night, was my musical answer to the American War in Vietnam. And I was a young musician at the time, and when I heard that at first, I didn't even know what instruments were playing that music. I mean, it was... electrified. It had all kinds of sounds. There was shouting. There was. It kind of brought Jimi Hendrix and Schubert and Renaissance music all together in one place.
I love that description.
You know, I thought, okay, now I've got my song, and then I got a score and realized I was going to have to get a group together that really wanted to work hard in order to play my song. And that's why I started Kronos. And so even from the first rehearsal, there was a sense of trying to create a counterbalance to some of the events that were going on in our world, our society. And that kind of sense has continued down the years. And there's no lack of things to do as a musician. Hearing wonderful music is something that, you know, if you get to call yourself a musician, which I do, one of the things that you get to do being a musician is you get to have a lot of contact with music. And you find out that the world of music is so wonderful. And you can find great voices, great instruments, incredible compositions, fabulous songs, all over the place. Every culture in the world has fabulous music. And so for me, the Kronos is my instrument, really, and it's my way of exploring the world of music. And then what we get to do is... in normal times, we have no idea if they will ever come back, but in normal times, we get to share our music with live audiences. And that music can go from Azerbaijan to Zimbabwe. And I can't even imagine life without being able to explore more about music and more of the world of music.
For people just tuning in, I'm talking to David Harrington of Kronos Quartet. We are jumping off point, really, is the newly released Long Time Passing. It's Pete Seeger and Friends, and it's on Smithsonian Folkways, which is a great, great choice of a label and the way they handle this type of music. David, you did a great job when you said that Kronos is your instrument. That's the most perfect description that I can think of, and it applies to everything that I've heard of Kronos Quartet, and then your approach to music in general with this collection of Pete Seeger songs and inspired songs. You have there are 15 cuts on this album, Long Time Passing. There's an instrumental that I want to ask you about because you take so many. You stretch out so much to pull in different kinds of music. You mentioned your daughter's hears Pete Seeger music. You have third graders singing in at least one song, and then everybody comes in on We Shall Overcome. But it's so diverse, and you have so many artists that some I've heard of, some I have not. But it all captures that the essence of Pete Seeger, not just as a musician. We could talk about that forever, and his early exploring on banjo that brought so many people to the instrument. But you really capture the essence, and then it goes through the prism of the Kronos Quartet, and it comes out this great. And we haven't even talked yet about the 16-minute storyteller cut, which to me is just an unbelievable connection. It's a collection and connection of Pete Seeger's words and music. But you have live recordings from Barcelona. Wouldn't mind just talking a little bit about, I don't know the artist in Barcelona either. There are at least two cuts on here. And you can talk a little bit about those songs quickly if you'd like.
Yeah, well, you know, in thinking about making an album of celebrating the life, the music, the expanse of Pete Seeger, it was clear that we would want to have a lot of different singers, and we would want to do a lot of songs. And it was interesting. The other day, I was just going through my phone and looking at my contacts, and I had Pete Seeger's home phone number. I still have it on my phone, and I didn't know this until about 3 days ago. I'd forgotten that I ever had his phone number. But for many, many years, I had thought, you know, I had to call him up. I mean, there's so many things where it would be so fun to talk to him and maybe find a way of playing together. And I never did that. I just couldn't quite get myself to, you know, what am I going to say to Pete Seeger? Hi, it's me, you know. And I never did it. Okay. And I regret that. And when I was thinking about the album and how to convey him in the most visceral way, it was clear we had to have his voice on the record. And that's our longtime arranger, Jacob Garchick, is also a fabulous composer. And so I was talking to Jacob, and I had been having conversations with at the American Folklife Center in Washington, D.C., at the Smithsonian, and they have a huge collection. And anyway, Jacob was in touch with them, and I said, look, make a piece, if you can, that gives us a sense of his life. And Jacob made Storyteller. And I do think that 16-minute piece takes an audience through the life of Pete Seeger as much as you can, you know. And anyway, so
it's absolutely remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. I told you this off the air. I've already played it on Unreal Bluegrass. As soon as I got it, I made time for a 16-minute cut. This was Storyteller. But anyway, you were going back to the production of the piece.
Yeah. Well, over the years, you know, we've met all kinds of wonderful musicians. Lee Knight is somebody that Kronos has known for 25 years. He's the only person on our album that actually appeared on stage with Pete Seeger.
Okay.
Yeah, and Lee is from North Carolina, and he's a ethnomusicologist, a storyteller. He does boating trips on the rivers, and he, wonderful guy. And it seemed like, you know what, I want to start this album at this point in American history. I want to start it with Which Side Are You On?
Yeah.
So that's how the album starts. And then after that, the president sang Amazing Grace. And I felt after that song, an audience needs to just have a few moments of contemplation. And that's a quality that exists in the music from India and in so many aspects of their music that can be found in India. And Pete Seeger himself sang Raghupati Raghav Raja Ram.
Thank you again for pronouncing that, because I had no shot. We talked about this off the air, and I said, you're going to have to pull that one yourself. But there's a great story behind the tune.
Well, when he went to India, he found out that Gandhi and his followers in the late 1920s sang that song on the Salt March. So Seeger himself learned it. And then he brought that song back to the United States and included it in many of his concerts. And that's another quality of Pete Seeger. I mean, he brought music into our culture, and I'll tell you about a few of the other songs that he did later. The other thing is that Kronos has been playing music from India for 40 years, and we've worked with many wonderful musicians, and we've kind of developed a sound. And in fact, recently, we've taught ourselves, actually, how to turn the cello into a tabla. And many people that hear Raghupati Raghav Raja Ram think we have a tabla player with us. Actually, the tabla is being played by Sonny Yang on the cello.
Really?
Yeah. And, I mean, that's what happens when you get to work with somebody like Zakir Hussain. You know, and Zakir has written for Kronos, and you hear the amazing tactility and brilliant rhythmic sense of somebody like Zakir, and then you want to bring that into your own work somehow, and that's what we wanted to do. So anyway, on that track, we tried to turn ourselves into an Indian ensemble as a moment of kind of reflection, and then after that, we moved right into Waist Deep in the Big Muddy, and that song, written during the American War in Vietnam, caused all sorts of trouble for Pete Seeger. But I think it's one of his most amazing compositions. And we had been, we learned about Brian Carpenter, the singer, was, among other things, we're in the middle of recording an album of Moondog's music. And Brian is producing that. And on one of the tracks, Brian Carpenter was singing. And he was just doing it as, you know, a placeholder.
Yeah.
And I heard it, and I thought, Brian has an amazing voice. I want his voice on our Pete Seeger album. So I just asked him, and he said, I'd love to do it. And so anyway, that's how we got Brian Carpenter onto Long Time Passing.
Why don't we do this then? I think that's a wonderful lead up. Let's play for the audience Waist Deep in the Big Muddy. There's a few more things that we want to talk about, of course, because the album is much longer, but I think it's a good option right now to drop that in, to listen to Waist Deep in the Big Muddy as you've described it. And don't go away. I'll come back and talk to you right after that about, again, we're into the Long Time Passing with the Kronos Quartet. I'm speaking to David Harrington of Kronos Quartet. It's the Pete Seeger and Friends on Smithsonian Folkways. Right now, the audience is going to hear Waist Deep in the Big Muddy. We'll be right back. That was it. I think you described it very well, David, that the audience just heard Waist Deep and the Big Muddy and how you got. I'm glad you're doing these because I didn't know Brian Carpenter either, so you keep illuminating me as we go through. By the way, the album, for the audience's sake, if they get their hands on the physical album, Smithsonian Folkways always does a wonderful job of complementing the music with a booklet. I would just describe it as a booklet, and I know there's a lot of descriptions in there that people can find, and I don't need you to go over all those, but I did want you to mention that it's a project. It's a typical Smithsonian Folkways project where they take all the care and effort to make it, well, what we used to do. We used to read, I'm sure when I bought Black Angel, I probably read the back of it and said, this is what I need to have. Well, the backs are getting smaller, so they need to put more print inside of these things, and Smithsonian always does a great job with that.
Yes, and they, you know, a lot of work went into making the entire production. And, of course, you have to remember this was done in the time of COVID. The mixing of the album was completed on March 11th. And then we went into a lockdown on March 13th. And so the whole rest of the production of Long Time Passing was done remotely, and that presents its challenges. But anyway, that's what happened.
Okay, listen, on the album, we mentioned earlier there are two songs that are live in Barcelona. Again, an artist I'm not familiar with, and you can tell me about both of those songs and how they fit into Pete Seeger, then tell me a little bit about the performer, because I don't know her, and I should, but I will after this.
Well, Maria Arnal is a wonderful singer from Barcelona, Spain. Kronos was appearing at the Grec Festival, which is a fabulous outdoor festival in Barcelona. And I remember thinking, well, Barcelona, that's the Spanish Civil War. That's where that... There's a real nexus point here, and so we ended up asking Maria to join us on a few songs from, I think it was Seeger's first album for Smithsonian Folkways, Songs of the Spanish Civil War.
Okay.
And we chose several, and we had so much fun performing with Maria Arnal, and the audience was so into it, and we just decided, you know what, we don't always do this, let's have some live tracks. and so that's how Jarama Valley, and the other song we do with her is Onda Jaleo, and then recently, actually, we're going to... we did a recording remotely with Maria for her next solo album.
Oh, so, nice. Okay.
So, you know, the work that we started in Barcelona about 2 years ago is kind of developing, and that's what we like to do with all of our collaborators.
She's a wonderful singer, like I said. But one of the things I love about this type of music, and I'll say an artist such as Kronos Quartet, although I don't know that there are many that fit in that category, but you're always introducing the listener to new sounds and the new artists. You've named so many already that contributed to this, and maybe we should know them, maybe we don't, but you're always reaching out to make that best statement of how you want to express your feeling about the musician or the music that you're telling a story of. It's just she's wonderful. We'll talk a little bit about her second cut as we get a little further on. You mentioned that you have third graders there. They join in live in the sixth cut that I have on my list of garbage. They also, everybody joins in on We Shall Overcome, which is what we will leave the audience with. But tell me again how that worked out. And I think it's so great because everybody that knows Pete Seeger knows wherever he went, the audience, children, adults, whatever, both, they had to sing with him at some point. He just made them do it by happiness, by the happiness that he brought forth. And I think that might apply to both of those situations.
Well, yes. And for Seeger, music was a community activity. It was something that people get to do together, and they get to share the experience together. And so a concert was a chance to perform together. And, I mean, one thing I haven't said yet about Long Time Passing is this album actually has a place where the idea for it began. And that place is the classroom that my daughter teaches in and has taught for over 20 years here in San Francisco in the elementary schools. And we were doing a concert for her third grade students, and her class had invited their pen pals from another school across the city. So there were like about 45 third grade kids, and we like to play for third graders because that's the year here in San Francisco. That's the year that you, as a third grade kid, you get to decide if you want to play an instrument in fourth grade.
Oh.
And so we try to tilt things towards, yes, play an instrument. Try to feel what it's like to have a musical instrument in your hands and make a sound with it. That's cool, you know. And so we were there playing, and the last song we did that day was We Shall Overcome. And the other teacher had his guitar, and after we all did We Shall Overcome, Mark Rosenberg said to me, he said, you know, tomorrow is Pete Seeger's 99th birthday. And I thought to myself, that means next year is his 100th birthday. And so right there is when I decided, okay, we're going to, now I know how what we're going to do with the work of Pete Seeger. We're going to celebrate his 100th year. And so it was in room 207 of Francis Scott Key Elementary School. That's where the idea started.
I love that.
And that's where the album, the last recording session was We Shall Overcome and Garbage was recorded. The kids' parts were recorded in room 207.
A new studio.
Yeah. No, there's no video.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying it'll be famous like Abbey Road someday. Someone will go to see room 207. I'm kidding.
Yeah, right. Right.
Well, it's great when you bring him in because, like, well, you've said it, and you know much better than I do, that he loved playing the kids. He loved getting them involved in the music. And not always the message, though. I think his music automatically conveyed his feelings and his message. But just for the sake of the music and having fun. I mean, there are songs on here that Kiss is Sweeter Than Wine, beautiful tune. If I Had a Hammer, Everybody Knows. But those are the kind of things that he would really bring the audience because they all knew him. And Turn, 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 which, you know, had his whole different life with the birds and with other things, and the origin being in scripture, and then he added some words in the music, of course. But his ability to see and read things and bring those into the music world, I think, was just is still, like you said, you can't say what a great musician he was. Just a great person and a great influential person in culture from every minute until he passed away.
Well, and the other thing is he had a great ear for a wonderful song. And so track 8 is called Mbube. And when Seeger first heard this song, it was Alan Lomax at the Library of Congress that called up Seeger and said, you know, I've got a big pile of 78s from Africa. Would you like to listen to these? They're going to have to get tossed out. Seeger listened to them, and in that pile somewhere was this song by Solomon Linda called Mbube. Seeger heard it as Wemawe. That became the way it was known, and it became the Weavers released it as Wemawe.
Yeah.
And later, it became The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
It's funny to think of how that changed over the years. But, yeah, it became The Lion Sleeps Tonight, which was a big hit, I guess, in the 50s or 60s. I guess more of a doo-wop band.
And so when I was thinking, okay, what can Kronos bring to this song that started out in South Africa, got transferred into the world of American music, and then got sent around the world by Disney.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, what can we contribute? And I said to Jacob, you know what we should do is we need to have all three of these versions, these well-known versions. They need to be like, you know, like the Grand Canyon. You see these layers of time. Our version has to have these layers of time. And so that's what Jacob did when he made the arrangement for Kronos.
Yeah, and you have Aoife O'Donovan, I guess. That's her voice I hear in the part that people might say,
yes.
Okay, that's the Lion Sleeps Tonight song. And then she adds that to it, and it's just a great – I'm so glad you explained it that way because I knew a little bit about the history, but certainly not that much. But
and here's a little detail.
Okay.
So we recorded this at the Fresh Grass Festival, and we were all the artists on that appeared with us, and many of them that appear on the album, were staying in this little hotel, and I'll never forget the morning we recorded Mbube. Aoife was having breakfast with her little daughter, who was about three, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And before she had to go off to go do the recording, she said to her daughter, she said, "Mommy has to go record The Lion King."
Of course.
And the little girl said,
"Of course.
Okay."
"My mommy's in The Lion King. That's all that matters." She was a golden from that point forward.
That's right.
It's a great one to include for all those reasons you've mentioned. It's a great one to include in this long time passing, which is just a gem. And I know there's so much thought that goes into these. That's one of the reasons I wanted to get with you right away is because I know the approach that Kronos takes to music, and you've actually staged these in the way they precede each other and follow on the album. Like you said, you need a break, an instrumental break at this time. This one, you play this one, and that to me is a special feature of Kronos Quartet. You're actually building a soundscape.
Well, yeah, an album is an opportunity to tell a story. And to give kind of as much a sense of shape as we can, knowing that an audience is likely to hear the music not in the entire album way that it was thought of initially, but when an audience is able to hear the entire album, we want that experience to work as a, you know, an extended experience, an extended kind of dip into the music, whatever music it is that we might be playing, whatever we're working with. And, one of my favorite, all-time favorite recordings was Pete Seeger from Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
And when he got the audience there to sing We Shall Overcome, that just puts the hair on my back. It's just incredible, incredible. We had to have that song as part of this record. We were able to get one of America's great poets, Nikki Finney, we're working with on another evening-length oratorio. Nikki is the one that prompts the words to We Shall Overcome. And then each of the solo singers on the album is a part of the chorus. And then we had 100 kids in my daughter's classroom. All the chairs were taken out. We had the microphones brought in. And it was totally wild. totally wild and so much fun. And that's how the album was completed. On February 3rd, we finished the last recording session for this album. And
so that's, so you're saying 2020, it just was
yes.
completed then right before the things began shutting down.
That's right. And so the whole circle, it started in room 207 and it was finished in room 207. And sometimes the poetry of that and the circularity, is that a word?
It is now.
You need to kind of listen to that, and that felt right to me. Well,
David, you finish that thought, and I want to bring you back to something else. Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, we were talking about the new word, circularity, and the fact that the album ends with "We Shall Overcome," which I want to play. And you've done a nice intro to that. I want to play that as we're leaving. There are other songs that we didn't stop by. Tune by tune, but we've mentioned a lot of them, and I certainly think David, if you're just tuning in, David Harrington of Kronos Quartet, he's been given a great description of the feeling and the immersion of Kronos Quartet into Pete Seeger as a musician, as a person, as we're discussing these songs on Long Time Passing. It's been absolutely everything I expected, David, and all of the input that I expected, and we'll talk about any other songs that you want, but I do want to leave with We Shall Overcome, and there's so many other great songs on here that we've mentioned but not really, gotten into. We knew there was another one from Maria Arnault from Live in Barcelona. I haven't talked about that song in particular, but we've talked about the recording of it and the event that you participated in with her.
Yeah. Well, and then there's Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Yeah.
For those of your audience that are able to get a hold of the entire album. The piece that Jacob Garchik wrote and put together, basically it's like a mosaic of Seeger's words, his thoughts, his singing. You hear the story behind Where Have All the Flowers Gone? He tells the story, mm-hmm. and then he sings it.
Mm-hmm.
As an old man, he sings Where Have All the Flowers Gone in German.
Yeah.
And it was really Marlene Dietrich that made the song famous first. And, Seeger's family, part of his family, came from Germany. And you hear this old man reconnecting with his ancestors. You can hear this in his voice. It's absolutely amazingly beautiful. And then, so we wanted to have that song on the album. And Step by Step, one of his great pieces, and Lee, our friend Lee Knight, assembled a couple of Seeger quotes and speaks them over the music of Step by Step.
And his voice is great, by the way. I don't know him either, but for this project, but his voice fits so well into Pete's timbre, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, and Kiss Is Sweeter Than Wine, I could spend an hour, not that I know the entire history of that song, but what Lead Belly did with this song that maybe started out as an Irish song and then got brought into American music, and then the Weavers took it up, interestingly, the very first piece written for Kronos in 1974 was inspired by that song, Kiss Is Sweeter Than Wine, written by Ken Benchoff, my composition teacher in Seattle. So there is a circularity to things.
Well, now we know that's a word, but I do think that that's the way your mind works, David, and I hope everybody's can also in that. You connect these things. You connect these moments, and they all come back in through different ways through your music. And I think that's a wonderful thing about Kronos. And what you're telling me confirms what I had hoped to learn from our conversation, that it's difficult to put in words, I think, even for you. I could never do it. But it's difficult to put in words other than you can get the feeling from the words. But actually what Kronos does is there's nothing else. There's not another sound And each album is different. If you find one, you think you might like the last one because of the next one. They're all different. They're all different, and they all have that same. But the depth is there in every one of them.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it's just. Right before we leave, then we're going to play "We Shall Overcome." You mentioned mm-hmm. "Kisses Sweeter Than Wine." Turn, turn, turn. I think is everybody that hears that, unless it was only the Birds that you hear the version of, that is immediately Pete Seeger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That just sounds like him, and you know, that's part of him.
That's the other thing that people ought to know about him. He was he had a really great sense of a wonderful song that he might encounter from any culture. But then he had an incredibly wonderful ability to make his own songs as well. And Turn, Turn, Turn is one of those. And it was Pete Seeger that popularized We Shall Overcome.
Yep, yeah.
And before he got to it, it was called We Will Overcome. So that change of word is due to
makes it more, it makes it more active.
Yeah.
It makes
yep.
it more of an active song.
Yep.
I can say this. I knew there would be this total immersion of Kronos and you into the music, and it's not hard to tell how it comes out on this new album, Long Time Passing. And I told you before, I've played the 16-minute. It's an absolute brilliant piece, editing and all the music. And if you could only hear one song and you wanted to hear about Pete Seeger, the storyteller, is such a wonderful beginning. And discussions with him and with different media, songs, Kronos fills in some things with their take on some of the music. And we're going to end, though, with that very song you mentioned, We Shall Overcome. And you've discussed it a little bit, but let's lead us into that, and then I'll let you go. I know you're a busy man.
Yeah, well, We Shall Overcome, at any point in American history, is an important song. Many of us my age grew up hearing that as part of the civil rights movement, and it seems as essential today as it did then, and what we wanted to do was be sure that as many third graders as possible would know the words of We Shall Overcome.
And it's perfectly done. I'm so glad you brought the children back into it again. And as I'll say goodbye to you, we'll play We Shall Overcome for the audience.
Okay.
And David,
nice to talk to you.
David Harrington, thanks so much. I know you're rushing out, but geez, thanks so much for your time and explanation and everything that you do with Kronos. I just I wait to see what comes next.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.